One would mentally shudder at even the most beautiful physical feats and experience a shock that would destroy all one's zest for life and cause nothing but fatal melancholy and depression. One thus here understands again the perfection of a divine world order and the revelation of the Godhead's infinite wisdom, universal love and omnipotence. Chapter 55 Situations in which physical beings can be possessed by spirits having a physical, day conscious connection with beings from the spiritual plane through mediums is certainly possible, but it is an exception and not the normal way. One can, however, to a certain elementary extent transfer encouraging speech and information from the physical plane through honest mediums to beings that are still in their purgatory after their physical death, as unhappy beings. But one must remember that God's normal instruments for providing help to all unhappy beings in purgatory are the guardian angels that exist here. Here we must also remember that any artificial connection with the spiritual plane by non-expert physical beings can be extremely dangerous. It can lead to one being haunted and possessed by derailed, perverse or downright sadistic spirits from the sphere of purgatory. It can also lead to drug addicts, alcoholics and similar beings who are still in purgatory and have not yet got rid of their unfortunate tendencies, and therefore suffer from strong desires to satisfy them, being able to possess physical beings and gain some satisfaction through them. They of course prefer to haunt correspondingly vice-ridden beings on the physical plane. By possessing these beings, the spirits in question can, as it were, through these physical beings' abnormal indulgences, share the indulgence to a certain extent, and thereby achieve a kind of satisfaction. This means that the physical beings concerned will feel a heightened craving for the destructive indulgence. This intensified craving for the indulgence, which is now also to a great extent promoted by the possessing spirit, can become so strong that the physical being ultimately loses all its power of resistance, and becomes mentally and physically devastated to such an extent that it can lead to the being becoming mentally deficient in its next physical life on earth. Spirits can also possess physical beings in other ways. Even if they are not as drastic as the ways mentioned above, they lead as a rule to harmful or unfortunate conditions for the one possessed, who may fall victim to nervous crises and mental illness. Such possession can very often begin through apparently quite innocent spiritistic experiments. It is therefore healthiest to keep to the natural line of communication with the beings in the spiritual world through one's normal, healthy sleep. Then one is fully protected and cannot meet with such mental crises and physically destructive crises. Chapter 56 The Road of Life or the Road to Paradise. We have now reached the end of this brief overview of the Road of Life or the Road to Paradise. Through this overview we have gained a little insight into how the beings are compelled to live for a while into worlds, the spiritual world, which is the primary world and the location of all living beings' life experience and creation, and the physical world, which is a vital extension to this, a sphere of matter that is the material for God's creation of the living beings' transformation into being like God Himself. Without this matter, all creation of consciousness would, as we have seen, be an impossibility. It is therefore essential that the living beings incarnate for a while in this matter in order, as we have also already pointed out, to be able to experience here how their behavior should be and how it should not be, in order that they, through this behavior, can become qualified to experience and practice being one with God. It is therefore evident that reincarnation or the being's long series of physical terrestrial lives is the Godhead's great, wide highway to His own radiant and eternal paradise on the highest pinnacles of infinite wisdom, universal love and omnipotence. Here in this all-outshining highest paradise we have arrived at the final goal of all life's movement towards the pinnacles of light or the eternal Father. There is no living being whatsoever in the physical universe that is not on this road leading to the divine abode of all living beings. This road of life is immeasurably long, but we have seen that the tired wanderer who has to negotiate it is well taken care of. Here there are many inns built in the same joyful and happy style as the Father's house or God's own paradise, which is the goal for all travelers who travel this divine road. Here the hard-pressed, wandering son of God can spend the night. Have a good rest and enjoy the entire bodily warmth and well-being of fatherly love. Here he can have his worn-out and decrepit physical means of transport replaced, and even get a completely new traveling kit, so that, refreshed and with new zest for life, he can again set out on a new lap to the next inn, and so on in this way from inn to inn on the long journey towards the great revelation of the adventure of life or the solution to the mystery of life or the riddle of the universe. The physical lives on earth are the living beings' laps in the journey between the inns. These inns are in turn the same as the living beings' spiritual existences or stopovers in paradise between its physical terrestrial lives. We have already seen what these paradises mean to the living being. Here for a short time it is allowed to throw off the ballast it has on board in the form of heavy mental burdens, sorrows, problems, sufferings and difficulties, and be clothed in its heavenly, princely robes, the shining halo of peace, joy and happiness, at the same time as it is permitted to live here in the realization of its temporary, very highest dream existence. And after thus having dwelt in the Father's love and having been pervaded by a new courage to face life and having received new divine strength and a new physical organism or means of transport, the eternal Son of God can again set out on a journey in the physical world and complete the lap to the fatherly blessing of the next inn. And thus he continues further and further along the long cosmic road of life to his ultimate, all-out shining heavenly home with his eternal Father and comes to rest in this Father's direct blessing and caress. We know the Godhead's reception of his returning Son by the concept of the Great Birth. Chapter 57 Life's Highest Paradise. The above-mentioned Great Birth is a spiritual process through which the human being, matured and developed for this through its lives on earth, has its latent cosmic sensory faculties opened. And with the maturing of these abilities it now becomes completely sovereign with regard to cosmic knowledge and its perception of life. It has become its own unshakable cosmic source of light. And this being so, it has attained to experiencing with its own senses its immortality, its identity as a son of God and its divine brotherhood with all living beings. It loves everything and everyone. Its physical life and normal fate have become one with its dream existence or paradise. It has become a human being in God's image after his likeness. In this state it has attained a life that is the realization of the greatest of all dream existences, being at one with the Eternal Father in his infinite wisdom, universal love and omnipotence. When the human being or Son of God has attained this perfect existence, it no longer needs to leave the spiritual world or its true, permanent paradise and be born in physical matter. It has now learned to think 100% logically, both with regard to the creation of its behavior and other kinds of creation, and is thereby correspondingly 100% qualified to create in spiritual matter. It can therefore continue its existence in the highest spiritual worlds of the spiral cycle. Here it can manifest without hindrance its entire genius at expressing intellectuality and love, and enjoy the culminating creative zest that ensues from this. It can no longer make mistakes. It has served its apprenticeship in the school of life. It has itself become paradisiacal in practical reality. And on this reality rests its paradise, which has now become permanent, as the being is no longer subject to reincarnation or rebirth. It sees God awake day consciously in all beings and things. By virtue of its culminating cosmic knowledge and ability with regard to creating love, it, along with like-minded beings, constitutes the Godhead's creative and caressing organs of consciousness. Through them he breathes the breath of life or his own consciousness into the living beings of future worlds and planets, and comes up with the ideas for their organisms, forms and shapes. In the highest spiritual worlds, where the beings are thus free of reincarnation and have reached a peak of perfect, logical thinking and creation, they can, as previously mentioned, manifest without hindrance the genius of their entire cosmic consciousness in the kind of matter that automatically obeys thought, wishes and the will without any help whatsoever from external phenomena. and here they can travel in God's very own sphere of memory and day consciousness. Foreign planets and worlds with their fairy tale-like details and phenomena, mankinds of various forms, animal worlds and vegetable expressions of life emerge here before the cosmic eyes of the awestruck Son of God. By virtue of his identity with eternity, the past and the future become the present at the command of his will. He travels through the culminatory fire of suns as well as through the frozen oceans or icy wastes of planets. By virtue of his cosmic sovereignty and his special substance, he is immune to everything that is time and space dimensional. In the same way, he travels just as easily through the densest area of the atomic world as through the empty space of the universe. Immune to sizes, he travels just as easily in macrocosmic and microcosmic worlds as in his own mesocosmic home. With ease, he likewise experiences thousands of kilometers as 1 meter, and 1 meter as thousands of kilometers. For this Son of God, who is one with the Father, one day is therefore as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. Here the Godhead's creation of the human being in his image is complete. It has become the way, the truth and the life. Its existence or way of being forms the Godhead's all-penetrating halo. And in this way every single unfinished living being today travels on the road to paradise and will one day, at the end of this long road, be received by the Eternal Father, the Godhead of the universe. And in his loving embrace, blessed by him, at one with the radiant abundance of his Spirit, it will radiate his infinite wisdom, universal love and omnipotence from the pinnacles of life over worlds, suns and galaxies.